Hello guys, welcome to the Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new episode. Today, we're welcoming back.
Exactly.
We're welcoming back.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod now.
Family.
Mr. John, Coach John B. Williams.
And now author.
And now author. Ooh.
Yes, thank you so much, guys. It's always a pleasure. I love spending time with you guys. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation last time, so it's good to be back.
It got a lot of like positive feedback as well.
Yeah,
like, I remember when we did it, we posted pictures first,
and then people were like,
"Where is it? Like, where is it being published?"
Like, I mean, even till now, we still get like people going back. Like, I see comments from like time to time and saying like, "Oh, you were talking your stuff in there." Like, yeah,
and no pressure.
And that was like a year ago, which is great to see. So we're happy to have you back here.
Indeed.
Honestly,
great.
Indeed.
How have you been feeling? How are you? Ever since we've like, especially since we've seen you, a lot has happened since.
A lot has happened, yes. But I'm feeling great. You know, continuing to push forward with my personal mission and challenge. Mm-hmm. And I feel better about it. You know, we're getting closer to the mark. So,
that's good.
Yeah, I'm good. Life is good.
Great.
Obviously we follow you on the socials. Like, you're doing a bit of like punditry. Like, mm-hmm. how's that going? Like,
you know, I have to relieve my frustrations somehow. And it sounds like I'm making a joke, but in reality, like, we all need a pressure release valve, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's always been comedy. It's always been comedy. And the way that I can express myself through comedy or just having fun or, you know, showing a different side of my personality that most people don't get to see and don't even know exist is fun. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Especially in this space, because there tends to be some very rigid personalities there that take themselves far too seriously. So, yeah, I like to have fun. And that was an expression of that.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, what's like the feedback been? Like, have you had any feedback?
Like, love it. Keep doing it. Like, you auditioning for ESPN, they should have you. Like, that kind of stuff. That kind of thing would be fun to do. But it's not something that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I like set out to, hey, I'm going to put this out there and we're going to do this and that and this and that. It was my team said, hey, I think it'd be interesting if you played around with this and just, let's just see, put it out there and see what kind of response
we do want to come back to that, like, later on in the conversation. We kind of want to get your kind of thoughts on, like, yeah, some of the players that are currently playing.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, both male and female.
Mm-hmm. So for sure.
We'll get back to that. But the kind of main reason why you're here, John, is to talk about your book.
Oh, is it?
I want to know the inspiration behind it. So it's The Champion's Code, 5 Attributes of Winners. What was the inspiration behind it?
The inspiration, to be short, the inspiration was, this is a book that I wish I had access to. This is information that I wish I had access to when I was competing. Mm-hmm. When I was young, when I was doing my thing, regardless of what it was, I wish I would have had access to that information, as condensed and succinct as it is. And every athlete that I worked with, if I had known these things as a young coach, I could have been more effective. So because I now know them, I'm like, okay, we got to put this out there, because information is of no value if it's kept to yourself.
I like that. The kind of process behind writing it, like, we did speak a bit earlier.
A lot of very late nights and early mornings, because I have found over the years, it's actually my second book, to be honest.
Okay.
But I've found over the years that I do my best writing, creating, when there's silence and I'm in the stillness of either the early morning or the late night. I don't know why, but that's just how I operate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you do that same process with your first book?
First book was brutal. Like, I would, yes, to answer your question, yes. Mm-hmm. My first book was brutal because I had zero experience writing. I didn't even, like, composing an outline was very, very difficult. Mm. So I found myself all over the place, and it was very difficult to pull the thoughts together in an organized fashion. And then the editing process was also brutal. I had to basically hand this jumbled work to somebody, shout out to Karma. Thank you so much for the first book. I had to hand it to her, and basically she just said, okay, I'll deal with it. I'll try to put it together and make it make sense.
What was that book about, sorry, the first one?
That book was called Balanced Mind, Beautiful Body, and it was largely about the psychology around making changes. Okay. I used getting in shape, being physically active, body composition as kind of the catalyst. So if you already want to do that, you have to understand these things need to be in place before those changes are going to take place, and more importantly, before they become permanent. So that was the premise of the book, and it basically surrounded psychology. So everything that, you know, we've learned since this was probably 2008-ish.
Oh, wow.
So everything that's come out and become more mainstream since then about positive mental attitude, about goals, about habits, about, you know, James Clear, Atomic Habits, has set up a whole structure on creating systems that set you up for success. In the book, I was talking about that. Not as eloquently as he articulates, and definitely not in as much detail, but I definitely, you know, circled on those premises and those principles.
It's kind of ahead of your time then.
I try, honestly, honestly, my goal is to stay 10 years ahead of everybody else. Like my kids will tell you, my wife will tell you, my athletes will tell you, if they've ever heard me talk about like my motivation, that's one of the key, you know, verticals for me is to stay 10 years ahead, whatever that means at the time and in whatever domain I'm playing in. But yeah.
Oh, because obviously we've not had a chance to read it yet. You've kindly signed us a copy, so I'm very much looking forward to getting into
it. Thank you.
But yeah, just like if you can outline maybe the, or not to give too much away, but yeah, what are like the five attributes of a winner?
Sure, the five attributes of a winner. And this will be interesting because when we juxtaposition this against players that we are going to talk about, you'll start to, oh, yes, for sure. They have that, they have that, they have that. These are not things that I just pulled out of thin air. Like mental toughness, physical fitness, discipline, being able to be goal-oriented and goal-structured, and being a leader and being able to operate in a teamwork dynamic. So those are the five attributes of a champion. If we look at somebody like Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic, Serena Williams, just those three, how many of those would you say fit?
All of them, right?
Now, we're all individuals. We all have our individual personalities, our likes, our dislikes, our idiosyncrasies. We have things that we're naturally good at, and then we have things that we have to train really hard to be good at. At the end of the day, what lies underneath all of those things are attributes. Five attributes of winners. And that's what they display, and that's what they show. And we don't always get to see it as spectators, as voyeurs, even behind the scenes as coaches on practice courts and things like that. We don't always get to see all of the attributes at play. But when we look at the entire picture, we can then start to dissect it as we go layer by layer. In this round, you might have seen he was tested here, so it required a ton more discipline because he really had opportunities where he was hitting out. Rublev would be a perfect example in Australia, right? He had to be super disciplined because we know how he plays, which is awesome. I love the way you play, Andre. But at certain times, he had to be disciplined. He couldn't just swing for the fences, right? And at other times, he did have to swing for the fences. So he had to be goal-driven. So we see them vacillating between these various attributes at different periods in time, but they're all there. And the ones that can have and harness them the most consistently are the ones that you see consistently at the top of the game, if we're talking about tennis. But it really doesn't matter because whether we're talking about tennis, business, even education, right? The professors that are getting renowned notoriety, typically they have those same attributes.
I'm wondering, like, you've kind of answered it. Like, would you couldn't really rank them in terms of an importance.
Priority?
Yeah, because they're kind of needed at different stages.
I can rank them and I cannot rank them.
Okay.
The one that reigns supreme on top is the first one. Mental toughness, mental discipline. Mental discipline.
Mm-hmm. And they say like tennis is really more of a mental sport than it is physical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, and it's, again, this is something we spoke about in our first conversation.
Correct. It's the gateway.
Mm.
So if you want everything else, you know, it's like you're moving, right? So you have to bring all your furniture in from the truck into your flat. Well, it has to go through the door. So the mental stuff is the doorway. The rest of the stuff can't get in if the doorway is closed. So if you're closed-minded, if you're narrow-minded, it won't fit. So that's how I look at it. The psychological part has to precede everything else. The challenging part about that, and that this has changed probably in the last 3 to 4 years. But in the past, it's always been from the outside in. Let's work from the outside in instead of from the inside out. Like, I don't know if we covered this on our last podcast, but if you look at the people who ascended and stayed at the top of the game, you have five players, and it doesn't matter what side we're talking about, right? But you have five players that are at the top of the game. Are all their strokes the same? Or their game styles, are they all the same? No, there may be some similarities and some overlap, right? Because there's only but so many ways you can hit a ball. There's only but so many patterns you can play. But they're all different. So the strokes, the game style, really, if there's a high level of proficiency, beyond that, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What separates those players from everyone else is what happens between the ears, especially in the big moments. So it has to come first. It has to precede everything else. And it has to be in a constant state of development, in my humble opinion.
And do you think that in the future you'll actually write more books as well?
I'm going to let you in on a secret.
Okay.
This book is actually the second. So the one that took me the longest to write is actually done. But I'm not going to release that one yet.
Wow, okay.
Okay.
That one is, if we had to talk about probably my life's work, I don't know that it would garner that. But to date, because I plan to do more things, to date, that book would be my life's work.
Wow.
Everything that I've learned, cultivated, and developed in terms of forging a mastery-based mindset, cultivating oneness and stillness inside, and all the other personality attributes that make us desirable and valuable contributions to our society to make the world better, it's in that book. That book is a how-to. Yeah.
Interesting.
So when we drop that,
that's
going to be, that's going to leave a big any vibration.
Hint of when?
No hint of when. I've been placed under a gag order. And I've not talked about it or spoken about it anywhere else. Right, so okay, you guys are getting
exclusive. Okay.
What do you want people to take away from this one though? Like in terms of like takeaways?
Oh, super easy. Pick it up, read it. I wrote this as an operator's manual, so it's very easy to digest what I'm talking about, why it's significant, how you can cultivate it in yourself or the people that you're working with. And then take that and go do it, like go run with it. Because again, knowledge, information serves no purpose if it's not shared and it's not applied. So that's the whole reason for the book. Because again, if I stumbled across this when I was 15, 16, I think my path would have been a little bit different. So if it has the power to educate, enlighten, and potentially transform, then when you read it, use that, like give that power to somebody else.
Yeah.
Use it for yourself for sure, because it's limitless, right? So you using it for yourself doesn't take away from what you can give to someone else. So use it for yourself, but give it to someone else as well.
So there's no kind of restrictions in terms of age, like it's for every juniors.
Absolutely not. Okay. Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, the younger and earlier you start, the easier and better it is.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love that. Well, I think that's a really nice kind of overview.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I am looking forward to
it. I'm looking forward to your feedback.
Yeah, for real. I will be hearing you out.
Like, what, a nice little review.
So what about this bit? What do you mean by that?
But yeah, let's talk a bit about the 2023 season, John. Like, it was a very good year, I'd say, for Taylor Townsend. Mm-hmm. I want to say, was that your first full year working with her on the main tour?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, if you can maybe give us some kind of, feedback as to how the year went in your eyes, like, both from a coach and for her as a player too.
Mm. Sure, happy to. So chronologically, just to catch people up to speed who may not be familiar with Taylor's story specifically, but Taylor had a child, took 18 months off, transitioned her way back to being a tour player. 2023 was her first full season on tour, like running a full, almost a 100% WTA schedule. Yeah. There were a couple of events where, you know, it wasn't a high tour level event, but for the most part, that was the goal and objective. Because at the end of 2022, basically what was said was, hey, you're capable of playing with these girls and you need to see them week in and week out. So we need to jump right in. Mm. And I felt like she was ready. She needed that test, that hurdle, that obstacle, that she needed to realize that she could get over. And 2023 represented a fantastic opportunity for us to do that. So I was super excited about it. It started out fairly conservative, and then we just built momentum. So we went to Australia, and she lost in singles, but we ended up winning, you know, two titles in doubles. Mm-hmm. So that was great. And we took that energy. I'm sorry, Adelaide. Yeah, we went to Adelaide, won two titles in doubles. Then we took that energy to Melbourne. She got through a couple of rounds in singles, played really, really well, started playing her game the way that we trained and the way that she's capable of playing. And, you know, we did fairly well there. The Australian Open was a pretty good event as well, mm-hmm. in both singles and doubles. Not so much mixed, but but it, overall, it was a great event. And it was largely a great event because what we had been talking about, the things we had been planning, the tools and tactics that we were developing and then working on deploying, she actually got a chance to use them. And she saw that they worked, and that reinforced her level of clarity and confidence. So that's what made it a great trip. The results were a result of all of those things. That was at the top of the year. And then, you know, fast forward, we link up in doubles. We had some great results with when Taylor was playing with Layla. Mm-hmm. Layla Fernandez. Yeah. Hey, Layla. You know, we made it to French Open final. Painful, tough one there. But we learned a lot, mm-hmm. as well. And, you know, overall, like, we had some good results in Rome, where she had to rally and keep it together and defeated Jess Pegula. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jess. She's still a little salty about that, I think. But it's okay. We love Jess.
Competitor.
Yeah. Exactly. Competitor. So overall, 2023 was a developmental year, cultivating the understanding of, yes, I can do this, and this is how I need to play consistently in order to ascend in the rankings. And at the same time, on the coach's side, me seeing where the gaps still are, where the unused potential still exists, and then constructing models to be able to highlight those things and bridge those gaps and get her to deploy and kind of move into that space of unused potential.
Yeah, because Wimbledon, I remember you guys, she was trying to get in as a lucky loser.
Yes.
I remember last year.
Yeah. But she was in, obviously, in the doubles, in doubles draw. But for me, Taylor's season kind of blew up in the US with the Cincy win with Alicia Parks. Shout out to Alicia Parks.
Yes.
Because, yeah, that was huge. And I want to say today, that's probably her biggest title, isn't it, in terms of doubles?
Yes, hopefully we won't be saying that tomorrow.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll call this on the eve of the Whip Ladies doubles final.
Yes.
But yeah, if you can talk about Cincinnati, like just kind of how that was, because that was a big kind of, for us as a kind of platform, that was huge for us, because obviously Townsend and Parks winning, but Coco winning the singles too.
Yes.
Like, it was huge.
Yeah.
So if you could like take us back to like, yeah, that time.
Yeah, that's a great tournament to look at, because there was a lot going on leading up to that in terms of training. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of, I kind of increased the pressure a little bit, increased the demand on her to do and execute certain things with no exception. And, you know, just like everything new and you're learning how to do, she didn't do it very well. So it was a lot of back and forth, and she had to wrestle with some emotion in how she felt about not being good at it right out of the gate. And many athletes struggle with that, right? Because typically the reason you are in the position that you're in athletically is because you're pretty good at it. Typically that starts out with, I was pretty good at it in the beginning, and then I just trained it and it got better, right? Not I sucked and then got great, right? Yeah. So that's where she was at that point. I think we did a really good job managing her off-court environment, and, you know, her ability to just chill and kind of settle down, not get stressed and worried about things. And even her first couple of singles rounds, she played really well. Mm-hmm. Solid. Like, didn't do anything earth-shakingly magnificent, but played solid, played according to the plan. She executed the plan well. And that gave her a little bit more confidence and allowed her to kind of look at herself in the mirror and like, okay, yeah. It may not be great at it, but I'm good enough at it. Mm-hmm. And then moving into the doubles. Doubles is like playtime for her most of the time. Seriously. It's just something that she genuinely enjoys. And there's typically no stress for her.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that has to come from her belief that she is the number one doubles player in the world and has been for a while, even if the rankings or the results don't show it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So when you have that belief going in, it's a different level of, like, you're not inherently stressed. Mm. If you know you're the best at the thing and you believe that, right?
Nothing can stop you.
Right. Mm. Why am I stressed about it? Mm. So she went into those matches and there were tough times. You know, she wasn't returning well, or, you know, she wasn't serving well. She had a couple of doubles here and there and blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's tennis, right?
Mm-hmm.
But overall, she felt really good about it, and match by match, they just kind of clicked it off and they made it to the finals. And Alicia's a fierce competitor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, telling her to turn it up is basically, you don't ever need to do that.
Yeah.
And Taylor is much the same. Usually I'm telling her to tone it down. Right. So when we got to that point, and you could, you know, as the expression goes, let the dogs off the leash, they just ran. Mm. And that's exactly what happened.
I mean, it kind of fed into, like, well, the US Open as well, because she made a run to the third round in singles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Doubles, like, where did she, how did she do in doubles?
Quarters, yeah, or it was, 16.
It was the latter stages.
Yes, definitely, I think 16.
Yeah.
So, yes, that definitely fed into the momentum leading into the US Open. Mm. We had a couple of great hits preceding the tournament. And all of that just kind of continued to solidify her place in her mind. Mm. I don't think she went into the US Open like she had ever showed up before, you know, to Flushing Meadows.
Yeah.
She went in, I feel like, knowing that she belonged there and was ready to do damage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. As opposed to that year when she made like the fourth round.
Yes.
But that was like a bit of a surprise, because it was like kind of out of nowhere.
Correct.
Like, yeah, yeah. So I hear that.
And phenomenal performance.
Yeah.
But like we talked about earlier, you know, if you want to ascend to the higher levels and stay there, it requires certain things.
Yeah.
And I think she's 2023 was kind of a catalyst for making sure that those things were firmly in place.
Because this year now, so 2024, she defended in Adelaide.
Yes.
This time with Beatrice at Admire.
Yes.
Which is a very nice way to start the year.
Yes.
What do you remember from that? Like,
definitely a pickup from the year before, because she was playing pretty well in singles. Mm. Like, even though the results didn't, she didn't have the results that we wanted. The point construction, the ball striking, the movement, all of those things were good.
Mm-hmm.
They were really good. So she felt good going into doubles. And as I said, doubles is kind of like her playground.
Mm-hmm.
So that made it feel even better.
Yeah.
And as the rounds advanced and they continued progressing through the draw, it just got better and better and better.
I find it impressive how she's able to do all of that with so many different partners. What, like, how is it possible? Like, from, like, I'm just curious to, like, know, because it's like she's, I mean, tomorrow she's the finals with a different partner, and then, you know, French Open was a whole different partner, and it, like, literally, like, I just find that so impressive. But so how's that process? Like, how do you think she's able to literally reach that with everyone else? And I think that's not being talked about enough, because it's like, that's really impressive, because you're dealing with different personalities, different, like, tactics, different type of people. We're all different. So how's that working out?
Yeah, for sure. So Taylor is fantastic in the fact that she knows what type of player she is. And it doesn't matter who's next to her or who's on the other side of the court.
Okay.
And that doesn't change.
Mm.
So if I'm playing, if she's playing with a person who's an aggressive baseliner, then it's, you know, if I'm serving, I'm going to set you up for this and this and this, and you're going to do this and this and this, that allows me to do this and this and this, right? And it becomes very simple, because she always wants the ball. So there's no fear of, well, if the other team wants to try to pick on me, great, because I want the ball,
mm-hmm.
right? I can't hit the ball if it's not in my possession. So if they want to give me the opportunity to hit the ball, fantastic. If they don't want me to hit the ball, then we can figure out tactically how to work around that as well. And that's one of her great attributes as a player,
mm-hmm.
is that she can maintain herself identity while constructing and molding to fit in a team dynamic with whatever strengths and weaknesses her partners bring.
It's a great point you make, Lucy, because even today watching on TV, the co-commentator, apologies, but she was stressing how Townsend was, I think, the only player on the court today to not have a Grand Slam title to her name, as in a doubles Grand Slam title to her name, yet she was basically like leading the team in terms of her and Katerina Siniakova. So it's fascinating how you kind of explain or described the dynamic in terms of the way she works.
Because you can see it.
100%. And today, like, obviously Katerina played her part, but Townsend really carried that match today, I thought.
I will acknowledge that you said that. but I can neither confirm nor deny.
But yeah.
No, but credits to Katerina. I mean, she literally just won her slam.
Just 100%.
Yeah. And she's a multiple slams.
Like, and they beat us really in the good. US Open.
True. And now look.
And now look, No, she's really, really talented. But you can, like, the talent is there from both players either way, whoever Taylor's with. But you can definitely tell, like, Taylor's the one, like, I can't remember who. There was one partner that kind of even said it. Oh, I can't remember. I'm so upset. I'm forgetting who. But, like, I think they must have messed up or something. And Taylor just went up to them just like, listen, this is not the time to be messing up.
Was it Layla?
I think it was Layla. Yeah. I think it was Layla. Yeah. I think they did, like, a press man together. Yeah. I think it was last year, US Open, where she was like, Taylor's the boss, like, you know, she's the one who's telling me, like, what to do and everything. Yes. And their partnership, you know, still worked. But it's really impressive, and I'm really looking forward to tomorrow, especially that today she had the tough match, because, you know, number one seeded Mertens and stuff. Like that is,
yeah, that is
Sue Wei is like the doubles, you know. Like, so that's why when I saw the draw, I was like, uh-oh. But then when I saw her yesterday, she was like, I'm ready to kick ass. Like, I'm ready to do this. And she meant it. So yeah, so good luck to both her and her partner tomorrow to, you know, to take that 100%. In
just on this season as well, like, she suffered an injury. Was it in May in Morocco?
Morocco, yes.
What was that like? Because that she was out for a while. She missed the French Open.
Yes,
off the back of that.
So technically, she was probably 80% capable of playing, but I said we've got a lot of season left, and I, when I say I said it, this was my input, not the decision, just to be clear. So I say we have a lot of season left. I don't feel, I know it's a slam. I know you could go there and do very well, but you could also go there and do something that would basically eliminate the possibility of you being able to play for the rest of the season. Mm-mm. Is it worth it? Mm-hmm. And I said, I genuinely feel like you have a lot of tennis left in you. Like, you are just now starting to ascend and live up to your potential. I don't feel that it justifies the risk right now. But you decide. And she made her decision. And it wasn't easy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But obviously, it turned out to be the right call.
Yeah.
And... you know, coming back and having your first tournament back be on grass, which is a shaky, unstable surface that, you know, at best, right? And I think the way that she was able to move and transition onto the surface and the confidence in her play and being able to do the things necessary illustrates that, you know, it was the right call.
No, definitely. And Wimbledon this year, obviously, this is why we're here, like, in terms of, it's currently Wimbledon time. Like, how does this year's experience compare to last year's? Like, for you as a coach as well.
Are we talking about tennis?
Well, I mean, give us what you want.
Sure. So this year was super challenging because of a few reasons. Logistics. First of all, we had places booked last minute. Airbnbs canceled literally the day before.
Damn. Oh, wow.
So we're scrambling to find accommodations. We do that. We successfully find accommodations in the 11th hour, both myself and Taylor, because we're staying in different locations. Taylor gets to her place. This place looks ran through. I mean, it is bad.
Oh, wow.
So she's like, I got a place, but I'm not staying here.
Oh, wow.
Then we have to start that process all over again. She's got to find another place to stay. Okay, so we get that sorted. Then we find out that transportation is severely limited. So player gets transport, but coach does not, which would have radically affected where locale-wise we were staying. So let's call that challenge number one and two. And then weather, obviously, which everybody has to deal with. Aside from that, on the tennis side, it's been good. Mm. You know, more learning, more growing, more challenges, more victories. Mm. So it's been part of the process. Honestly, it's been not abnormal. We got through a couple of tough matches in doubles that required a lot more... a lot more psychological strength and tactical strength. And I think that it was a major improvement over last year.
Yeah.
In certain points, you know, the big points were played really well today. They were played really well in previous matches. And those are the ones that matter the most, as, you know, Federer said in his commencement speech.
Indeed.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of see it. When you see her now, like, I don't know, like her energy and
little
her
swag
attitude.
Now.
Yeah. You can literally see that difference from like last year and this year. And it's a lot. And I think it even means a lot more when it comes from people like us. I only see her like once or twice a year.
Right.
So like when I saw her, like the way, like she was walking around the ground, she was, you know, like more like, you know, excited. Like even when
she
you
belongs.
Like you see her, like, yeah. She's more comfortable. Even when she's on court, when you watch her matches, like she seems literally more relaxed as well compared to the previous year. So it's nice to see her, and it's obviously helping out a lot because look where she is like now. So congrats to you guys.
100%
for that.
One of the things I said to her at some point this season is you have to make the decision whether or not you're going to continue believing or whether you're going to decide that you know. And I believe what you just quoted was the expression of knowing. Mm. I know I belong. I'm not just believing that I belong.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a massive thing. And it even applies to Jasmine Paolini too. Like as in
that's
her
true.
Kind of rise.
100%.
She said it's like a lot of kind of the way she's been performing, it's down to belief.
Yeah.
And like just kind of having this idea that now she can actually play this level and like actually believing she can.
She changed her mindset like going into the year. And you could actually see, I remember like Eugene was watching, he was watching her United Cup. And it was, I think it was her match versus Kerber. And he literally told me, she was like, Lucy, there's something different. Like,
yes.
Her attitude and her mood. And now look, two back-to-back Grand Slam finals. And she won her first 1,000. And she's like, what, top three, top four now or something like that?
Top five.
Like, it's crazy. But yeah, like you really need to, you know, put your mind into it and actually believe in it. And you can see that in Taylor and Jasmine.
100%. Sure. Like, but with Paolini too, like, do you not think that's also a good example for other players, like in terms of...
100%.
Mm. Like, if you can speak on that.
Because, I mean, she's 28 years old. Mm. She's not 6'1", right? Yeah. She doesn't have 125 mile an hour serve.
She hits big though.
She does hit big. She hits big off the ground, yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
not taking anything away from her, but... That's technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine because you're using the tool, right? So she doesn't have the greatest of physical attributes as opposed to, you know, what the textbook says.
Yeah.
But what she does have is a tremendous amount of heart.
Yeah.
She's gotten so much smarter and skillful as a player.
Mm.
And she has a phenomenal attitude. Like we were talking about yesterday. The occasional flashing of the smile on court, even when, like, she hits a great shot, but it goes out, she's still smiling because she knew it was a great shot, right?
Yeah.
So her understanding, and I don't know how she came to this. I don't know if it was conscious, unconscious. I don't know if it was from people around her or circumstances around her or she's studying this. I don't know. But we do see the results, and the results are phenomenal. They're undeniable because on paper... She shouldn't be doing what she's doing. And that is the incredible message because the paper doesn't define you. So unless you choose to let it, right? So her ascension, her performances are really inspirational. And I love to see it. I'm still mad that she beat us in Florence last year. but I think that, you know, she carried that into the French because she did okay at the French. And then, you know, made it through the rest of the season and, you know, kind of held her own.
Yeah.
Right? But had a tremendous amount of, and I don't know if it was her preseason or what changed in that window, but coming into the first part of this year and like you said, you know, winning that title in the Middle East, that seemed to be the solidification of, I know now, and I just have to do more. I have to go more, go deeper into this space.
Definitely.
No, it's incredible. The timing of everything as well. And I, to bring it back to Taylor quickly, I think as well, Wimbledon feels right for her to win. I don't want to like tempt fate, but I said it to Lucy. I think I said it yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about Wimbledon and doubles. Like, for me, it's like the home of doubles.
Yeah.
Like, grass court tennis. Like, it just... For me, it's like a doubles central. So, and yeah, Taylor is an amazing doubles player. So I just feel like where she's going to have that breakthrough is going to be at Wimbledon. Mm. And it, for me, it's only right it happens there. Mm. So, all right. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
What do you guys say? Touch wood?
Touch wood, yes, exactly. Touch wood. Very, very British. But yeah, John, just before we leave, like who have you been impressed with in terms of players on both tours? Like, because obviously you're in and around it like every day.
And then you're doing the pundits now.
And exactly.
Yeah. Share, share, us taste, let's see, yeah.
Yeah, if you can give us some players or a player from both tours that you've been really impressed with this year.
Sure. The more I see him play, the more I'm impressed with him. That would be Medvedev.
Interesting. One of Lucy's faves.
I think Daniil is probably one of the best tactical chess players on tour right now. Mm. Can't take anything away from Novak. I think Novak is a great problem solver. I think he's probably the best problem solver on the court. Mm. And we're talking about on the court, not in the locker room, right? Yeah. I think he's probably the best problem solver on the court. But I think Medvedev is probably the best chess player on court. Mm. Real time, he's refined his game to the point that he can get you to this place with this type of ball every single time if he wants you to be there. And then he has three moves figured out. Mm-hmm. So unless you come up with something that's way off the reservation, it's going to be really hard to beat him.
Mm. Yeah.
And unfortunately for him, he plays a lot of players that are capable of coming up with things that are off the reservation and amazing.
Yeah.
But as a player, kind of that's what you want. You want to put them in a position where they have to hit incredible shots in order to be able to beat you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't ask for more than that from yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
If someone's capable of producing the impossible over and over and over again.
It's too good.
It's too good.
Yeah.
Like he said about Rafa, you know, what was that? The Australian final? That was an Australian final, right?
Yeah. Australian final.
He was like, I don't know what he did, but Rafa just, he became a god, you know? And that's what he had to do, right? Mm. But he was able to do that. He's Rafa. So.
And it's his shot making.
Yes.
It's very unconventional in terms of his techniques, even. Like, but I think he is a very coachable kind of guy because he's quite intelligent as well. So I don't know him personally, obviously. But from just the matches I've seen of him, I think the chess analogies are great. It's a great line.
Exactly.
And I can see him playing a lot of chess off court as well.
Like I don't know if he does.
He's that kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he does. You know, comment if you do. But I'll give him, you know, the benefit of the doubt and say that he does.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, women's side now.
Pressure.
No pressure. I mean, we're just talking this year, not like 2023 or maybe later 2023 if you want. But
Yeah, at the risk of sounding redundant, I would have to say, you know, Jasmine Paolini.
Like,
I'm super impressed with, because there's so many variables. Like if we just talk about the actual playing of tennis, she's athletic. She's agile. Her endurance is good. She's able to hit the ball with a ton of shape, or she's able to flatten out and drive in it whenever needed. Tactically, she runs patterns that are intelligent. And I say they're intelligent, not necessarily meaning that she's going to win the point, but intelligent meaning that she's running patterns that play to her strengths the majority of the time. And it has to take a player on the other side of the net that's strong enough and skilled enough to break out of that pattern in order to break her from her routine. So all of those things are pretty cool. And then, as we talked about earlier, you know, the heart and the psychological aspect of it.
She's a fighter. No, and that's something that we always said, like last year, like, because last year she dealt with a lot of tough draws.
Yes.
And It's like she was playing in a way that she didn't care who she was playing against. Like, I don't care if you're number one,
right,
90, whatever. I'm going to play my best and I'm going to fight. And I think that's why I've always appreciated, like, watching her matches. Like, if you're going to go watch a Jasmine match, I always say that you're going to get your money's worth because she's actually going to play really well. So, yeah, it's good that you pointed that out. Yeah.
Whenever you see a player displaying those attributes or an athlete as a whole, then it's really fulfilling as a spectator.
It is.
Because you appreciate them so much more.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
No, that's a nice way to close, I think. So, but before we do leave, where can people pick up the book, John?
It's available on Amazon. Certainly by the time this comes out and is made public, it will be all over. Hopefully a bestseller by then.
Fantastic, of course.
From the Blackspin audience.
Exactly.
You know
they're going to cop. You've got a lot of fans amongst our followers. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, yes, if and when you guys make your purchase, please comment. Let us know what you think about it. And you guys got early editions.
I'm very much looking forward to
early editions
it.
And signed.
Don't put that on the shelf.
I don't want to show off, but I'm just saying. Nice signed book too.
No, much appreciated, John.
You can flex.
Thank you so much for joining us. And also a massive, massive well done to Taylor Townsend and Katerina Siniakova as well for getting to the Wimbledon doubles final. And congrats to you too, because it's been a great journey.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, you played your part. So.
Yes. I try.
Hope you can go back to back in New York.
You know, that'd be fantastic. I'd love to.
She's been there before.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean.
And she was. I will never forget that speech as well. I was like, she was talking. She was like, watch out. Here we are.
She foretold. That's good. If you can see it and have the courage to speak it.
Oh, perfect. Well, yeah, guys, thank you so much for tapping in.
Yes.
And we'll see you soon. We've got so much more coming up. But John, thank you so much again, man.
Thank you. I hope we break the internet with this one. That's my goal.
Appreciate it.